Yeah.
The dear friend of mine, and I won't tell you things about him if he won't tell things about me. Amen. All right, brother.
Thank you, Brother Sal. God bless you, preacher. Well, it's good to be here tonight, and I appreciate the mercies of the Lord. It is of His mercies that we're not consumed, and I thank Him for finally getting us here. I left coming this way on Tuesday about noon, and we got a big storm in Detroit and made us miss a flight coming out of Minneapolis. Had to spend the night in Minneapolis, then had to go from there to Salt Lake City and got laid over there. Finally got here today. So it took 2 days to get here. But I'm here. What's left of me anyhow. But I appreciate the mercies of the Lord getting us here. I know there's a purpose in what He sends, what He allows. And I'll find out one of these days. You never know. I just know that God makes no mistakes with His people. And I'm glad that His delays are designed. And I appreciate His mercy. And it's so good to be with your pastor and the fellowship we've had already today. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let y'all out by 10:30.
Your time.
That's my time. Aren't you glad? Could I get a witness right there? Yeah, that's all right. So I told the preacher I'd preach about 30 minutes tonight. I am very tired. But I know the Lord's able to help us. I just want to look at one verse tonight. And when I tell you the verse, I know you're going to say, well, I've heard that, and I've heard that preached on many times, and I've read that many times, I heard it taught on many times. Sometimes we get so familiar with Scripture that we treat it with contempt. And I feel like the Lord wants me to deal with this verse tonight for a few moments. And that is 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 5. And a little verse number 7. Now, as you're turning there, this passage of Scripture has been addressed in the context to the men of God and the elders especially. That being said, however, I believe that this Scripture has something that's relevant for every one of us. And I believe that we can claim this verse. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And I'll tell you, I believe it's profitable for us for instruction in righteousness. And I believe we can get help from this verse tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let us all stand together again in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. And then remain standing for prayer. Simple words. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I bow here in Your presence tonight, I want to thank You for the privilege, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord. And it is Your mercies that have brought us here, and Lord, You've kept us, and we appreciate traveling mercies. We know safety is of the Lord. We know, Lord, that the delays are designed by providence. And Lord, we know You're working things, everything, according to Your good purpose, and Lord, and it'll turn out for our good, to Your glory. And I pray, God, You to help us tonight as we come to preach. I pray for Your touch and anointing. Give us liberty. Lord, I pray we'll say what needs to be said. And I pray the message will be effectual in the hearts of Your people and minister grace to the hearer. And we'll praise You for all that's done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you and be seated. There's a wonderful song that was written some years ago that we sing often. Does Jesus Care? Taken from this verse. And I want to preach on that subject tonight. Does Jesus care? Have you ever heard it said, who cares? And have you ever said it yourself? Looked around and said, well, I don't care. Or maybe in despair you would just throw up your hand and say, does anybody care? And a lot of times we get to that place in despair where we wonder if even God really cares. But the fact of it is, this verse says very precisely that He careth for you. Now, there's Two words here that are similar in the English. Casting all your care. There's the word care. Upon Him, for He careth. And there it is again. Care for you. But these are two different words completely in the original language. And I'll deal with that as we look further into this verse. But I want to talk for a few moments on this subject that He cares. And I'm glad He does. I'm glad it's not a question in my mind about it. I'm glad I know my Savior cares. I know He cares. I've been through the places. I've been through the rough places. I've been through the dry places. I've been through the school of hard knocks. I didn't get in this thing come lately. I'm not a Johnny come lately. I've been in the race a good while. I've been preaching since 1968. And I've had trials and tribulations and testings and heartaches and heartbreaks. I'm telling you, I have. But through it all, I can still say I know my Savior cares. I know He cares. Well, let me just give a brief exposition of this simple verse. First of all, I want you to notice in this verse, if you'll take it down, number one, the cares of our lives. The cares of our life. Casting all your care upon Him. Now, this word care is the Greek term merinda. And merinda means literally to draw in different directions. To distract and to cause anxiety. Boy, and I thought about, doesn't that describe a way a lot of things we experience in our life here? We're being drawn in different directions. You feel pulled this way and pulled that way and pulled yonder way and pulled that way. And people are so stressed out and we've got more time-saving devices than any generation has ever had. And yet it seems like we have less time to do anything than any generation has ever had. And a lot of the things that we find ourselves anxious and full of anxiety and care. And we're just being kind of pulled apart. And man, that's what the pressures of this age is doing. The cares of our lives. There are cares in our lives. There are. And doesn't mean that you're not right with God. It doesn't mean you're not saved if you've got problems. In fact, it may be that one reason you have the problems you have is because you're saved. Because you're living in a world that is no friend to grace. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I'm glad, praise God, that I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And there's troubles here. There's heartaches here. But I'm telling you, I'm going to a land that is fairer than day. There'll be no sorrow there, no heartache there, no tears in heaven fair. No tears up there. There'll be no cares there. But till then, I find myself loaded down at times with cares. The cares of our lives. You know, Job rightly said, man's days are few. And full of trouble. That's exactly right. Moses said in his psalm, in Psalm 90 is his psalm, he says that our days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. There's sorrow. It's a part of life. David said this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The Apostle Paul said, that no man be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we, the people of God, are appointed thereunto. We have an appointment to go through afflictions. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you in this very book in chapter number 4. And brother and sister, listen. And he also said in chapter 1, he said, I'll have to pick back up to quote it in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now here it is. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Well, anyway, but there you have, there are seasons of sorrow, seasons of tribulation. We, brethren, James said this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I mean, isn't it amazing how trouble always comes in bunches? I mean, it happened. I mean, if one thing goes wrong, half a dozen things are going to go wrong. And that's kind of the way life is. We are not strangers as the people of God to being in trouble. In fact, Paul at times said, we despaired even of life, sorrows and burdens and heartaches and troubles and tribulations. And as far as this world goes, the Bible said, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, the cares of our lives. Number two, in this verse, I would mention the casting of our load. Hey, the casting of our load. Now, notice that he said, simply casting all your care upon Him. What are you loaded down with? What burdens are you bearing? What heartaches have got you pressed down? What is distracting you? What is pulling you apart? I want to tell you what. You have a burden bearer. You have somebody to help you. Somebody to carry the load. You don't have to carry that yourself. If you think you're man enough or woman enough to carry it, God may let you try. But when you realize that you can't and you need somebody to help you, you'll find the Lord is there. He's near them of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And the Bible simply says here, casting all your care upon Him. Thank God for that. Well, now, this is an interesting word, casting. The Greek term, for those of you that might study the Greek, is epirithou, I think. It's E-P-I-R-R-H-I-P-T-O. If I tried to say that again, I'd talk in tongues as sure as the world. But anyway, this Greek term translated here means simply to cast upon. It's goodly illustrated in the scriptures. This very word was used in Luke 19:35. Remember when they brought Jesus? You remember on His triumphant entry, and as He was, they found the little. I got to be careful about this. I'm going to have to say ass or donkey. I'm going to have to say donkey every time, or I'm going to have to say ass every time. If I ever get them mixed up, I get in trouble. I have really got in trouble with that. I really have. I had Balaam getting off his donkey and kicking his... And it happened. And Yusuf... My people laughed, and I didn't know what they were laughing about. I was just starting, but I've learned better since then. Well, at least some of y'all smiled. Hello, good to have you in the service. Now that you're awake, let's listen to this. This word, you know, when they took those that little donkey, the colt, the foal of an ass, and what they did, Luke says in chapter 19:35, and they brought him to Jesus, and here it is, and they cast their garment upon the colt. They cast their garment upon the colt. Now, I would say something about this casting. Number one, I would say testing your care upon Him involves an effort from you. Now, the word casting, you is understood here. This is an imperative statement. Though you is not mentioned, but you is a, hey, you casting all your care. Casting involves an effort. Amen. Casting involves an effort from you. It's not just that His, what He's going to do, He waits for you to do something. As long as you think you can do it, He'll let you try. But when you take it and cast it, you're taking it off. You're making an effort to get it into His hands. So in casting involves an effort. Amen? It really does. And then casting involves an exchange. Alright? If I cast my care upon you, if this coat's my care, it's my care. I've been carrying it around. It's heavy. And my cares are bothering me. And this word, casting your cares. I mean, boy, it's anxiety. It's got me pressed down. And it's my load. But we're talking about not only the cares of our lives, but the casting of our load. Casting all your cares. Just like they cast their garments, amen, upon Him. Boy, if you can just imagine your pastor as being Jesus, and he's probably the most like Jesus of any here, I would say if you got a load, you can get them off of you, and you can cast them on the Lord. And when you cast them on the Lord, guess what? I'm not carrying the load. Now He's carrying the load. I'm not being pressed down. I don't have a problem. He's got the problem.
Good.
And so casting involves an effort. And casting involves an exchange. But casting all involves, guess what? That little word all. Do you know what that word means? It just means all. It means everything. If it's bothering you, hey, you can cast it on Him. You don't have to be pressed down. You don't have to be aggravated, irritated to the point of despair. If that thing's pressing you down, so get tired of carrying it. Cast it on Him. This is a word for the people of God. Hey, folk, casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. I'm glad He cares. Aren't you glad there is the cares in our lives? Number two, there is the casting of our load. But number three, there is in this text the compassion of our Lord. That last statement, for He careth for you. He careth for you. I know He loved me. Paul said He loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want to tell you what, there is the compassion of the Lord. For He careth. Now this is a different term altogether. This is a little word milo. And milo means to be interested in. Means to be concerned about. In the modern vernacular, it means to God it matters. I'm glad that I matter to Him.
Amen.
I'm glad I matter to Him. A lot of times we are the offscouring of society and put down and kicked down and run over and made light of. But I'm telling you what, we matter to the Lord. Don't think you don't matter to God. You matter to God. God's concerned with every one of His youngins. I'm telling you, and He loves the household of faith. He loves them. They are His bride. They are His body. They are His building. I'm telling you what, and He cares. He's interested in us. I'm glad He's interested in me. I don't have a disinterested
Savior. I have one that's interested. In fact, I'm glad he's touched by the feelings of my infirmities. I'm talking about the Lord. He cares. I'm telling you, the care of the Lord. Well, a couple of things here, and I'll be done before 10:30. I'm still going by South Carolina. You better be glad, praise God. I ain't so tired. I would preach to 10:30. The compassion of the Lord. I want to mention a couple of things under this point. Number one, I want to say something about the assurance of His caring. The assurance of His caring. How sure are you that He cares? Well, number one, I would say that it is as sure as the Word of God. Amen? And how much more sure can you get than that? Because He said heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. Forever thy Word is settled in heaven. I'm telling you, amen. Thank God for the Word. And this is the Word. This is not Sears and Roebuck catalog. This is what God said. And God said through it, His anointed apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said, Peter, write this down to them and let them hear this. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Thank God for that. He careth. He careth for you. As sure as the Word of God. Amen. He careth. And now I want to say this. That's assurance because of the Word. But it's also as sure as the works of God. I know He cares. Amen. Let me just say it like this. Simply, I know He cares. Number one, because of what He's already done. Amen. Thank God. Well, I know He cares. Well, He created us. Thank God for that. He suffered for us. He died for us. He rose again for us. Thank God He called us, redeemed us, changed us, forgave us, cleansed us. He directs us. He supplies our need. He brought us safe thus far. We are saved by grace, thank God. And He's done all of that for us. Amen. Hallelujah. He's done work. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. I know. And different people of God are in different affliction, but don't worry about it. Paul said, I reckon that I figured this thing out. I've been calculating it. And for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Did you hear that? Our light affliction. Paul said our light affliction. Well, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, is it? And look at all he went through. And you know what he said? Our light afflictions. He's beat to death, stoned and left for dead, and beat, you know, several times, shipwrecked, in pearls of robbers, in pearls of the deep, and he was in trouble, and he'd go to town and check out the jail because he knew sooner or later he's coming that way. He was in problems and pressures everywhere he went, and yet when he looked over it, he said, hey, but our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's a doing something. Bless God, it's producing something. Hey, God doesn't bring you to afflictions to hurt your faith, but to help your faith. My daughter came and stayed with me this summer as she was out of school. She works for the school system in Florida. And she brought in and put it on in my kitchen, a little old plaque. And it's just a simple thing, and I've heard it. But I get here's what it says. It's simple. It says, if God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. Hallelujah. That's a good one, man. Sometimes you need to, you know, I know that's a little old catchy term, but if God brings you to it, hey, He'll bring you through it. God will give you grace. He's not put more on you than you're able to bear. Thank God He regulates what He allows. Anything that comes in our lives has to pass the desk of God's providence. Amen. What He permits, He has a purpose for. And He never works to destroy our faith, but only works to develop our faith. And He's not so much interested in us being comfortable down here. He's interested in that eternal way of glory that's working for us. Amen? Forever. Now, I mean, we're just going to be here a few years compared to eternity, friend. And I'm telling you, with a light affliction's working for us. I didn't mean to get bound on like that, but man, that's pretty good preaching even if I was doing it. Blessing me, it might not be helping you, it's helping me. I'm telling you, I know He cares because of what He's already done. In fact, I know He cares because of what He's doing right now. He's doing stuff for us right now.
Amen.
We all talk about, you know, heaven after we die. We talk about getting saved in the past. Don't forget this. Look at me. God is the God of the now. He's God right now. He cares right now. He's feeling your burdens right now. He knows your tears and heartaches right now. And right now, He's interceding for us. At God's right hand, ever living, interceding for us right now. He cares for us. Thank God. I can go over lots of that, but I've got to get done by 10:30. Number three, I know He cares because of what He has done and what He is doing. He's doing a whole lot more than what I mentioned. But I know He cares because of what He's yet going to do. Yeah, He's going to yet do something. Amen. One thing He's going to do, He'll finish what He started. Amen? Being confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He'll finish what He started. Something else He'll do, He'll keep that which I've committed. Amen? What I've committed to Him, He'll keep it. Bless God, it means something. And something else I know He's going to do, He's a coming back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. Hallelujah. He's coming. That still blesses my soul. Amen. The assurance of His caring. I'm done with this. I would mention something about the activity of His caring. Seven things I've mentioned in Scriptures that shows the activity of His caring. Symbols, metaphors, figures of speech, word pictures. Seven of them. There's more, but seven I choose to end with tonight. Number one, I would say the activity of His caring. He cares for us as a bridegroom cares for His bride tenderly. Amen. Ephesians 5:20, so ought men to love their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nursed it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Amen. The activity cares for us like a bridegroom cares for the bride tenderly. He cares for us like a father cares for his child. Providentially. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? I'm glad He provides. I'm glad He takes care. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? I'm glad He cares. As a father cares for his child, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I think He cares for us as a mother cares for her baby affectionately. Amen. I see this in Isaiah. Isaiah said, can a woman forget her suckling child and that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes women get so sorry and strung out on dope and drugs and alcohol that they turn into monsters instead of mothers and don't care about their kids and do all kind of unspeakable atrocities to them. It has been known wickedness is abounding in our land. That may happen. But God said, yeah, it may happen. But God said, but it never happened with me. I will not forget thee. Hallelujah. He cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep completely. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Just sum it all up. I shall not want.
Amen.
And you can preach the whole chapter from that word, I shall not want. He cares for us as a gardener cares for his garden attentively. Israel is God's vineyard in the scriptures, and Isaiah said, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. I'm glad God's got his eyes on his garden. I'm glad God's got his eyes on his vineyard. I'm glad God's got his eyes on us. I'm glad he knows what. And the day and night, doesn't matter. God's got, amen, he's attentively watching over us. Number six, he cares for us as the eyelid cares for the eye. Amen. How does it do that? Instantly. Boy, I'm telling you what, when there's something coming towards your eye, and as soon as you pick up on it, you don't have to think about it and say, aye, there's a rock, there's a BB, there's something ahead. My wife has thrown the dishpan. It's coming. Blink! No. And as soon as instantly, it's just quicker than you can think. And you know what the Bible says? That God says, he keep me as the apple of thy eye. I'm glad he, amen. I mean, you,
hallelujah.
God's people are like the apple of God's eye. Man, you go touch them, God instantly responds. God knows what's going on. And then I would say number seven, he cares for us as a friend careth faithfully. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And what a faithful friend we have in Jesus. I'm glad for this wonderful little verse. Casting all your care, 10:30, upon him, for he cares for you. 10:30, South Carolina time. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
I'm glad he wasn't going on Hawaiian time. Even California time. And all God's people said, that's worth coming tonight for, amen. For some of you don't know, Brother Rudy has been taking care of his wife for over 18 years. She kind of has a lot of things like my wife. And that's where we become very good friends. He's been at 18 years. I've been at 3 years. And scares me the way you are, what I'm going to look in 18 years. You notice I'm saying it now after he got down. Amen. That's what I was afraid of. Ushers, if you'd come, let's take an offering for Brother Rudy. Thank God for men that study the Word of God, that put it on the bottom shelf that we can all get it. There's a lot of churches that don't have the joy of the Lord, the Word of God. Amen. Lord, tonight we thank you for our brother. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God that you brought to us, Lord. Many are hurting. Many are sorrowful. Many have no, they just don't know which way to turn. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've told us to study it and to take it and to apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that tonight they would bow their head and say, "Oh God, forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now, right here. Lord, thank you for the promise of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen."